Hello, dear friends. This is Paul Scharf, Church Ministries representative with the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry. It's my delight to have you join me here today on my page on sermonaudio.com as we're going to continue in our study of the coronavirus crisis and prophetic lessons from the coronavirus crisis. I am so thrilled that you would come here to watch, to listen, to read the content we're providing for you here on Sermon Audio. Please come back, tell a friend, and thank you so much. And please also meet up with me on Facebook at facebook.com/psharf.foi on my page there for all the latest details about our ministry. I do want to thank you for being part of our online Bible study, and I must begin with an apology. It's been several weeks since I've posted a new message in this particular series. And while I have spoken about the ongoing events in our culture in other formats here on sermonaudio.com and written about them, I have not posted a new message in this study for some time. And there's plenty for you to go back and review if you've not watched previous installments in this series. I encourage you to do that. And my goal is to produce one of these online Bible studies per week, and Lord willing, ultimately this will settle at a certain time of the week. So right now I'm attempting to just produce them as quickly as I am able. There have been some weeks when I've posted more than one study, but it's been a while since I've posted the last one. So on this Independence Day, Saturday, July 4th, 2020, when I'm recording this message, I wanted to bring you a special message that gets us caught up, gets us back in the flow, reminds us where we've come from and where we're going. Because just since the last message I've posted, of course, so many things have happened, have they not? In our world, in our country, in our culture. And it is incredible. And it is so important that we understand these things from a biblical perspective. In fact, that's what we're really focusing on in this series, isn't it? The coronavirus crisis, we remember, and we've spent a lot of time here in preparation thinking about this, that it illustrates prophesied future events. Notice it illustrates them. I don't think that we're seeing any fulfillment in the coronavirus crisis of specific biblical passages and prophecies. But what are we seeing? We're seeing the setting of the stage. And my goodness, can you imagine the stage being any more completely set than it is with all that is going on and all that has happened? We're seeing the setting of the stage for the final fulfillment of these things that the Bible prophesies during the coming tribulation, the 70th week of Daniel. And another way of saying that, as we've seen in previous lessons that you can go back and review, is that we're seeing foreshadows. We're seeing events that loom so large in the future between us and the final return of Christ at his second coming that we stand in their shadows, as it were, here in our time, even before the rapture. And we see the shadows being cast upon us here in our day. We're seeing signs of the times. We're seeing glimmers of the types of events that will occur in the tribulation when those events actually reach the point of fulfillment of biblical prophecy. And we're seeing these things happening, I believe, at an accelerating and a very, very rapid rate. And this is really an incredible time to live. God has put us here for such a time as this. And so we're witnessing these things, and they require us then to have a solidly biblical and prophetic perspective. And we're attempting to gain that in these lessons. Now, as I said, this is sort of a special lesson. It doesn't necessarily fit specifically in the flow of the particular lessons that we've had and the next one that we'll have. It's sort of a refresh, if you will, to use a very popular word we'll see here in a moment, a reset, if I can use that word in a godly way. And it just sort of refreshes us, and it would be a good lesson to share with a friend who has not watched any of these, sort of just introduce the topic, and I'm hoping it gives you something good to view here over the Independence Day weekend and reminds you of what we're studying. When we think of the coronavirus crisis, at this point, I'm really including everything that has happened since late February, early March, not just the virus or the government response or the economic outcome that happened as a result of that, but now even the rioting that is taking place across the country, and the wave of demand for change and for really decimating our history and all of these things that we have seen happen. And really, it's really now becoming not only anti-history, but anti-Christ, anti-Christian in so many ways. This wave of euphoria regarding basically rewriting our history and purging, and to use the buzzword, canceling all that does not fit with what's really a Marxist agenda underlying so much of what many are clamoring for even at this time. So when we think of the coronavirus crisis, and by the way, there are other things that have happened that I see fitting, if not from a human perspective in terms of their origin, certainly from a demonic or satanic, nefarious perspective, I believe there is manipulation of events that we're seeing today, and I would include within those events some of the recent Supreme Court decisions we've seen that certainly will have horrendous effects on our culture, on our country as well. So we have all these things thrown at us. When we think of the coronavirus crisis, this whole crisis that I'm going to keep calling the coronavirus crisis, it includes, of course, the pestilence of the coronavirus. We've seen that Matthew 24, verse 7 says that in the tribulation there will be pestilences in various places. Jesus said in Luke 21:11 that there will be in various places famines and pestilences and fearful sights and great signs from heaven. We've seen that the ESV, in speaking about the rider on the pale horse who comes among the wave of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, the first four of the seal judgments that are unleashed upon the world following the rapture as the tribulation begins to unfold. And that pale horse is, of course, the fourth horse that goes riding upon the earth. And his name was Death, and Hades followed with him. And reading the ESV as it is here on the screen, I looked and behold a pale horse, and its rider's name was Death, and Hades followed him. And they were given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword and with famine and with pestilence and by wild beasts of the earth. And you remember, if you watched our previous lessons, that word pestilence there is an interpretive translation. The translators of the ESV believe it'll be death that will be attained through pestilence. And some see a connection there with the idea of the wild beasts carrying these pestilences, transmitting them, if you will. Pestilence, certainly economic distress. Now, that is being somewhat offset now by growth as the economy has reopened. So some of the things that we were wondering about even when we began this series, thankfully, by the grace of God, we're seeing good things returning in our country. That's wonderful. None of us want to bring or see any kind of suffering happen. But I think we're still going to see potentially more fallout and more different kinds of problems economically because of the shutdowns that were called in response to the virus. And, of course, we never know what is ahead, but we're going to continue to think about that particular issue in the context of what has happened, what is happening, and what may happen ahead of us. Then, of course, we have the rise of authoritarianism. And, by the way, as I'm talking to you here on July 4th, 2020, you know, when we started this series and I started talking about these things 3 months ago in terms of prophetic lessons from the coronavirus crisis, perhaps you thought, and perhaps I even wondered myself in the back of my mind, you know, is this really worth putting together in this format, or is this going to be over in a couple of weeks or a month? Well, it was pretty obvious to me early on this wasn't going to be over anytime soon, because so many things were happening that were going to have long-term implications. And then just when we thought, you know, even, well, the coronavirus crisis is itself is over, but now we're into this protest stage and then the rioting stage and so forth. And then just when we maybe even got past that a little bit and thought, well, the economy is opening up, life is going to come back to somewhat of a state of normalcy. We're going to start playing ball games again. And now just like that, this week, we're seeing all kinds of new information, aren't we? I don't know how much of it is genuine. I don't know how much of it is, I don't know what to believe sometimes, which statements are correct, which are being manipulated, which are just posturing or some type of exploitation of this crisis. But we're seeing new efforts at closing things back down, tightening things back down, restricting people's movement, restricting travel, quarantines, more shutdowns. We're told about rises, spikes, need to wear masks. So, you know, just the coronavirus crisis itself, I think it's quite obvious this is not over. It's not done. It's not obsolete. We need to understand. We need to know how to respond. We need to continue to see this time as a very unique, unusual, we've often heard unprecedented time, certainly in the history of our country, and what is going on and how does this fit into Bible prophecy? When we combine it with all the other things and see them as a sort of a string of things that are form one long crisis, which there are no signs that it's over, then we really realize this is still news, isn't it? This is still very much with us. And when we think about the rise of authoritarianism, that little rabbit trail came about by me thinking of mayors, governors, various leaders trying to make orders for people to stay home, to stay in, to not be able to go to work, not be able to travel. And some of these things now, this has gone on long enough, some of these things have gone to the courts, and there's an array of different things that we have to be aware of, even sometimes within the same state, certainly traveling from state to state. But there are local leaders who would love to use this crisis, apparently, to increase their own authority. There are also those that would call for a global government. And here's a quote I came across this past week by a man named Klaus Schwab. Now, how many of you listening voted for Klaus Schwab? Well, of course you didn't. I believe he's located in Germany. He's the chairman of something called the World Economic Forum. And he wrote a think piece last month, and listen to what he said. The pandemic represents a rare but narrow window of opportunity to reflect, reimagine, and here's the buzzword that so many are talking about now, reset our world. Reset. We're looking for a reset. We're going to start history over. Boy, that sounds like it ties together with things happening in our country right now, doesn't it? Seems like these things might all be related somehow, doesn't it? Well, you may not have voted for Klaus Schwab, but let me tell you, friend, Klaus Schwab has designs on your future. He has some ideas of what he would love for you to be doing in your life. And so this is, apart from God and His Word, this would be very scary, wouldn't it? But because we have God's prophetic word, we can put all this in context and we can put our trust and our hope in the Lord, and we can almost sit back and enjoy to some extent enjoy the ride here, seeing how God is setting the stage for the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Now, we ought to do what we can as stewards to resist and restrain the forces of evil, but we are watching them increase, aren't we? More on that in a moment. We see the tracing and tracking. Boy, if this gets going, we're not even at the beginning yet of this whole crisis, are we? Tracing and tracking people, much like we'll have on the earth in the days of the tribulation under the Antichrist. Tracing and tracking people, if they've had the virus, to know where they've been, what they've done, who they've seen, and you know, and then possibly implementing preventative measures if they are not willing to, or shall I say punitive measures if they're not willing to go along with this kind of tracing and tracking. Here in my state of Wisconsin, there's all kinds of things happening of at the local level, laws being crafted and being debated that deal with this kind of issue. And actually, it's been quite refreshing to see how many people are actually standing up and opposing some of these things. But I don't know if ultimately such people will be able to prevail. But tracing, tracking, and then of course in the rooting, the rioting, the looting, the stealing, the thievery, the assaults, the horrendous crimes that we're seeing across the country, the rise of lawlessness. I'm not talking about peaceful protesting. The First Amendment guarantees us the right to do that. Now, it is curious, of course, how some people have been allowed to do that while others are not allowed to go and sing in church on the same day in the same city or the same state. But nevertheless, we believe in peaceful protesting and holding the government accountable. All of that is fine if it's done correctly, properly, respectfully, and in bounds and legally. But when we've gotten into the realm here of the rioting, the looting, that is an entirely different scenario completely. Now, I've spoken about these things, I've written about these things in other areas here on Sermon Audio. You can go back and review them. And I even did an audio, a Signs of the Times audio, in which I talked about the rise of lawlessness and lawlessness abounding. And I want you to know, friends, that as we rehearse some of the same points here in conclusion in this video, we, I believe, are living in the last days and in perilous times. I did another Signs of the Times audio on that theme. So this is the time, by the way, this is the time when the church is needed, when Christians are needed. I'm not calling you to go and hide on your couch under your blanket. I'm calling you to see that God has placed you here for such a time as this, and to be God's man, God's woman, God's person in this time, to be all that He has called you to be. But do realize that we're going out into perilous times. Is there a scripture verse that really sheds insight, sheds light, provides insight into this situation? I think there is. It's 2 Timothy 3:13. Evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And so here's where in the Signs of the Times audio I made, I talked about the fact I really see all of these various segments of the crises being related. The coronavirus, you know, sort of pull it out like a telescope. It's telescopic. You pull the virus out, you had the shutdowns. You pull the shutdowns out, you had the economic fallout. Then we had the horrendous, lawless taking of the life of George Floyd by the officer in Minneapolis. And I along with everyone else, condemn what happened in that situation. And we had the protests, and that would have been fine. But then, of course, again, as I said, we went into the rioting. We went into all of that lawlessness. So from the economic impact of the coronavirus, you really stretch that telescope out into the rioting. And I'm sure that there was a connection there. a natural connection in terms of people already being frustrated, people being out of work, people being bored, people looking for something to do, and also perhaps some of the same forces that wanted to manipulate both the coronavirus and the shutdowns and the economic impact and the riots, because they were useful to them, whether it be politically or in terms of even a longer strategy that they have for our culture, for our country. And I think a lot of people are viewing these things, as I am, as being related in some way, even if we don't perhaps understand all the details. But the Bible tells us that in these perilous times, we should expect things to grow worse and worse. They become exponentially worse, if you will. There's deception, and there's the promotion of deception, and there's evil growing, as I said, exponentially. And in this time, it's very easy to lose heart, and that's why we need to listen to good and godly teachers. And one such man is Dr. Mark Hitchcock, who you may have heard in recent years. He's become quite popular within especially pre-tribulational, dispensational circles as a great Bible teacher, as a great prophecy teacher. And he's written a brand new book that I'll show you in just a moment. I heard him on the radio recently, and he said about this time, here's a positive we can take away from all this. As he said, that even people who don't believe the Bible, they're not Christians, but they seem to have this collective sense of angst that something big or ominous is out there. And perhaps you have noticed that, friends, and perhaps you have even seen evidence that people right now may be interested like they've never been before. They're getting very, very serious. They're seeing what's happening to our country. They're seeing what's happening in our world. And, you know, just the coronavirus itself was enough to do this. But with all that's happened since, people are literally saying, what's happening to our country? What is happening in the world? What in the world is going on? Does the Bible talk about this? Does the Bible prophesy events that will happen in the future? Can it shed light on what's happening today? People are interested. They're open. We need to take advantage of this time in a good sense, in a godly way. And we need to make full use of it and make our full impact in it and absolutely accomplish all that we can during this time. Take full advantage of this situation for God's purposes. Now, Mark Hitchcock has written this brand new book, Corona Crisis. And I referred to it before in our study. If you've been with us, it's a short book. It's a wonderful book. I highly recommend it. And it's even a book that you could give to someone, whether they're a Christian or even an unbeliever, and share with them a biblical perspective on the coronavirus. It does not go into, for instance, the riots. It was actually finished and came out just before those things began. But I think in light of all that's happened here and continuing to go on in our country, the book remains very, very relevant and very, very, very much current to all that is happening. And, of course, we're still dealing with the coronavirus itself. Now, I want to end on a good note here. I want to end with more quotes, first of all, from Dr. Woodrow Kroll. This is from the interview I conducted with Dr. Kroll here on SermonAudio.com in my new series of interviews on Israel, when he said that in the mid-70s, he's talking here about the interest in Bible prophecy, which I've just been speaking about here briefly. He said, in the mid-70s, we became enthralled with prophecy. Then that kind of waned after a while, he said. I think we lost a perspective on what is next. But then he said, that pendulum is going to swing back. As Mark Hitchcock puts in the book, Corona Crisis, God is giving us a warning time right now, maybe a final warning. Maybe this, in God's grace, is the last warning saying, look, These are events like you're going to see in the tribulation. The stage is being set for the tribulation. This is a foreshadow of what it will be like. You don't want to be here. You don't want to be part of it. Believe the gospel. And so, friends, if you are listening to this message and you have never trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, that is your need right now. You could do it even on this Independence Day. You could become independent from the devil and the world and the devil's kingdom in eternal future hell. You can be separated from all of that and become independent of sin, ultimately, by becoming dependent on Jesus Christ. How do you do that? By believing that Jesus, the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, became also man, died on the cross in your place for your sins, so that you could have the forgiveness of sin and eternal life in heaven with him. If you trust that he died in your place for your sins, was buried and rose again, so that you could have forgiveness of sin, you could be with him in heaven forever. This could be your day of spiritual independence. Not independence from God, dependence upon God, but independence in the sense of freedom from death, hell, and the devil. You can become a new creature in Jesus Christ today. You can begin to know what it is to trust God, to read his word, to understand his word, to follow him by faith, to know him in a way you've never known him before, and to see his gracious working in your life. And part of that working is testing. And the Lord is testing us right now if we're Christians. This is a very tremendous time of testing. The genuineness of our faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, is being tested by fire, as Peter talks about in 1 Peter 1:7. We want to be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, the unveiling of Jesus Christ. He's coming back, maybe today, to rapture his church. Maybe tomorrow, just after church, he'll be here in the rapture to take us to be with him. Will you be there? Will you be part of us? Will you be one with the body of Christ by faith in him alone? I hope you will. This has been Paul Scharf for the Friends of Israel. Thank you for joining me. And may God bless America on this birthday, 244 years. Even though the storm clouds surely are gathering, we raise our voices and say, God bless America, and may he guide her through this night. And may he help us. May he give us as a people in this country not what we deserve, not justice, the buzzword right now. No, we don't want justice. We need mercy. We need his grace. May he give us not what we deserve, but more of what we could never deserve, his blessings. May he cause Christians to become courageous and encouraged to stand for truth in these final closing days of the church age. May he give you a wonderful holiday weekend as we celebrate the 4th of July and Independence Day. God bless you, friend, and thanks for listening.